Today, I'm thrilled to introduce Dr. Charles Morgan, who's going to bring an uplifting message from God's Word. He's spoken here at Westwood before, and I'm so glad to have him back again. Dr. Morgan is a licensed family therapist with a particular concern and a focus on how to create healthy family systems. He's an ordained minister who's planted churches in Malawi, Africa. He served as the founder and the senior pastor of Resurrection Life Fellowship in Los Angeles, California for 33 years. And he just recently completed 6 years of service as the CEO of the Union Gospel Mission here in the Twin Cities, an amazing, wonderful ministry. Charles and I met through the ministry of Merge a few years ago, and we hit it off right away, becoming fast friends. We both graduated from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. We both love God deeply and believe that He is the source that repairs broken lives and restores souls. It's just a delight to have Dr. Morgan with us again today. So would you please join me in welcoming Dr. Charles Morgan to Westwood Community Church today.
Good morning, Westwood. How are you? Good to see you all. Yeah, I hope you had a wonderfully good and fulfilling Christmas holiday with friends and family and loved ones, and greeting all those who are with us by internet. Father God, we ask you that you would be gracious to us and descend now upon your servant, Lord, to speak firsthand to your people. Lord, that we might be encouraged and strengthened in your beloved Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you some things I've been dealing with in my own life regarding trusting God, having faith in God, and understanding afresh who God is. You know, having played football and signed at the professional level, coaches throughout my career would always say, when things go awry, go back to the fundamentals. And I think if ever a time when the church needed to revisit the fundamentals is now. We are being accosted from every side. So much information is flowing into the church. We're getting all kinds of sermons from all kinds of directions over the internet, over the phones, just everything. And I think there's a real concern to the integrity of what the church believes today. And it's important for us to understand, to know what the will of the Lord is. You know, as a pastor and have traveled around the world, you know, taking prayer requests from people. One of the main requests, probably the top in the top three, is, Pastor, I don't know what the will of God is. Would you pray for me? And so I pray that we would understand God's will. You know, I went back to a book that influenced me some 40 years ago. It's called No Other Foundation by Vern Fromke. And in it, he talks about the moods of the ancient Greek, the indicative, the imperative, the subjunctive, and the optative. In the indicative, he talks about how when we become Christians, we're super excited. You know, we found this new relationship with the Lord. Our eyes are open, man. And we just enthusiastic about serving the Lord, reading the Word, right? And then we get to the indicative. We got to tell everybody now. We got to witness the family. We're praying, Lord, should I witness to 10 a day, 11 a day? How many you want me to witness to? We're at church. We're involved. We're excited. Then we hit the subjunctive stage where we said, I wonder if this stuff I'm believing is really true. I wonder how much of it is really true. I wonder if I really know what I'm talking about and what I'm doing. And then we hit the optative, where we come out of that subjunctive state, and we come with new expectations, and we work through that, and we resolve some issues, and we're excited again, and we're ready for the next rung of the ladder. Well, this is what we all as Christians should be going through, because God wants us to keep growing. And I think there's a concern that there's too many babies in the church. He wants us to become mature saints, to understand that we can be formidable adversaries of the devil who comes to take and snatch souls and bring people into despair and hopelessness. Another book that I really like is by Robert Fulghum. It's called Everything I Needed to Learn, I Learned in Kindergarten. And one thing I remember from kindergarten that I was taught is the purpose of our life is to know, love, and to serve God. And out of those three things, out of those three pillars in my life, I said, if I know God, then my life will reflect His divine character. If I love Him, then I will love my neighbor as myself. Yea, even I may prefer my neighbor above myself on certain times. And if I'm serving Him, I'm going to be serving my neighbor, whether they're saved or not, because the love of God dictates that's the way we should live. Not only to love those who love us, but to love those who are difficult to love. Amen? There are certain foundational principles that I would like to look at today. And the title of my sermon is No Other Foundation, The Victorious Church. Because I think as I talk to Christians sometimes, Christians think that the church is going to be defeated. I got news for you. The church of Jesus will never be defeated. Did you hear me? I don't care what it looks like. God always has a faithful remnant in every generation who will do his will and who will fulfill his divine purposes. And I'm hoping that you are among that number. Amen. And you can say amen loudly. It's all right. You know, I thank God for Pastor Joel. He and I met last week, a week before. We had a great discussion about the historicity of the church, about doctrine, about things that are important to the church throughout the church ages and how God has been faithful. And I thank him for the opportunity of being here again today. First principle is that Christ is a sure foundation. There are all kinds of things that we find ourselves fighting against today that will cause us maybe to question whether or not Jesus is truly the true foundation. And I'm here to tell you, when you look through 2,000 years of history, there's just things that have happened consistently that cannot possibly be coincidental. Over 300 prophecies fulfilled by the Messiah. And he has promised us that he will return again and collect the church to himself. And I'm excited about that. I don't know about you. And that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. The second is the character and nature of true conversion. It's important for us to understand today what it means to really be a Christian and how a Christian life should be fashioned in the world. You know, John tells us in the epistle that if the seed of God is in us, we cannot practice sin because we've been born of God. And so when people tell me stuff like, oh, they're Christians, they're just not living the life, I say, that's not what Scripture teaches. Because the only assurance that we have of being a Christian is living the life. Amen. Right? Amen. Our lives are no longer our own. They belong to Christ. You know, I was a missionary pastor. I still travel doing missionary work today. And you know, when I was coming to Minnesota from California, people would say, well, you going to Minnesota? It's really cold there. That's the frozen tundra. I say, you know what? Doesn't matter. If God sent me to Siberia, I would go. Because it's not predicated on comfort. It's predicated upon commitment the call of God is. I can get another amen on that. It's about commitment. And I tell people, you know, I say, we need missionaries today. We need people who are willing to go and take the gospel to people that have never heard it. We need Bible translators. They say, Dr. Morgan, I'm not called to missions. I say, that's okay. Volunteer. You ought to see the look on their faces. We die daily. When we become Christians and our lives are no longer our own, we don't live unto ourselves. For no soldier who is in warfare lives unto his or herself, but how they may please him who had called them to be a soldier. And I want to remind us, we're not just members of the family of God. We're soldiers in the army of the living God. We are called to march to the sound of warfare because we are in a spiritual battle against a formidable adversary that's snatching souls left and right. And we need to be able to come against him and come against him victoriously in the name of our God. I don't want to be a preacher who is preaching about the cross. I want to be a preacher who is preaching the cross. That means we are called to be crucified with Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. And when we're feeling weak, when we're feeling like there's just no more that we can take, it says in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And in 40 years of serving the Lord, I've come to understand profoundly what that means. And in our weakness, his word really is true and his promises come to pass if we rely on him and believe what he said. We need to be committed to becoming mature as Christians to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Bible tells us he's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you satisfied where you are in God? Because if you are, something's wrong. Because when we love God, when we're living for him, when we're serving him, there is a hunger within us to know him more. And I tell people, no matter how deep you go in God, God is deeper still. Who is this being that has the power of eternal existence within himself? Had no beginning, has no ending. What kind of God is that? Who could think of something called the Trinity? Three persons in one God. Are you kidding me? Three persons possessing the divine essence equally without admixture of persons. The Father is never the Son is never the Spirit is never the Father, but they're God. Who ever thought of such a thing? It's beyond human understanding to comprehend the fullness and the profundity of who God really is. In 1 Corinthians 3, we look at there is no other foundation that can be laid. It says in chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says, by the grace of God that's given to me, I lay the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. Who is building on it? Me and you. But each one should be careful how he or she builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of opposition to this foundation today. But unless we build on a sure foundation, the house will be skewed. My dad was a bricklayer, a master bricklayer, and he taught me as a hard carry, and he taught me as his son working with him, that when you lay out the foundation, it has to be exact. Otherwise, you get a hog in the wall. You know what a hog in the wall is? A hog in the wall is when you get to the top and nothing works out, and you got to tear the whole wall down. So I learned by watching my dad when he measured out a foundation that it was tremendously important to make sure that that foundation was sure. Because if the foundation is not sure, the building will not be sure. And Paul says, if the root is unholy, so will the tree be unholy. And so we have to be careful how we're walking with God, that we might walk in newness of life and not in the old that we've been delivered from. A major thing about the Christian life, and I want us to remember this, especially during this season, is that we as Christians are not called simply to get and to receive. We're called to bring people to. We are co-laborers with Christ, and one of his primary goals was to come into the world to save his people from their sins, and to bring them into union and fellowship with the Father, that we might be one with him as Jesus is one with the Father. Is that all right? Sometimes in life we forget about the fundamentals. And we're coming through a pandemic that has changed life profoundly for so many. People have lost loved ones. People have people they love in the hospital that are alone and so on and so forth. But you know, as I look at this, I see God is working in all of these challenges to purify us. He's weaning us from everything that has distracted us from knowing and walking with God, even church. Because for some people, church is the obstacle to knowing God because they're caught up in doing rather than being. And so my question to you is not so much what you're doing for God, is who are you becoming in him? Because the doing is one thing, the becoming is something else, because you could do and not become. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, how do we build when we're building on this foundation that the Apostle Paul and the other apostles have laid for us? And it's important for us to understand what they have laid, which means we need to give ourselves to study of the Word of God. Doesn't the Word say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth? The implications of that is, there is a way to wrongly divide the Word of truth. And many times when I talk to people today, too often, people have ideas about God that is not in the Word of God. I say, where did you get that from? Well, that's just who I believe God is. You know, I was doing some ruminating and thinking about things and pondering, and that's the conclusion I came to. I said, do you know with all your ruminating and with all your thinking and concerns, you can come to the wrong conclusion? The Word of God is given to us that we might know God of a truth, the way he reveals himself to us, because there are things about God's nature and character that's hard for us to embrace. Is there not? When we pray and God doesn't answer our prayers, we get upset with him. We say, God, where are you? Why did it happen to me? Why aren't you answering my prayer? These are the things that confound us about God. But unless we have faith, we will not have the platform by which to stand with God regardless of the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in. And if you serve the Lord as long as I have, you will have some disappointments in your life. I hear people say, oh, God will never disappoint you. I said, that's not true to life. God will disappoint you. He will never fail you, but he will disappoint you. And he'll work it for your good. Isn't that wonderful? He'll work it for your good. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. And if it is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the fire. Now, what this is saying, this is talking about Christians, not Christian and unbelievers. It's saying that Christians have works that are wood, hay, and stubble, or Christians have works that are gold, silver, and precious jewels. That means you can live your whole Christian life, and everything you live can be burnt up in a moment. When I was in school, Sister Irene used to always say, you might get to heaven by the skin of your teeth, and say, touch your teeth. And that's how some people will get to heaven. They will get to heaven by the skin of their teeth without any rewards because they didn't live according to the way Christ prescribed and according to the word determined for us to live. Wouldn't that be sad? And then there's the other side of that where you can be in church and end up not getting in at all. You say, what do you mean, Dr. Morgan? Well, in Matthew 7, it says there were those that came before God and they say, Lord, we've done many mighty wonderful works in your name. We've raised the dead. We've healed the sick. And the Lord said to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The worst deception in the world is to believe that you're saved and you're not. Wow. And that's why I tell people you need to get in the word, not only for you to read the word, but for the word to read you. Because if you read the word, it will tell you whether or not the life that you're living is an appropriate life and a life that is one worthwhile getting you those rewards of gold, silver, and precious stones. What is gold, silver, and precious stone? Right doctrine. That's one thing that it is. It's habits. We call it orthopractice or practices, the way we walk and the way we do our life with God. Service produced through living out your faith in truth, both as an individual and collectively as the body of Christ. In other words, this thing that we do is not an individual sport. It's a team sport, right? That means you have to learn to get along with others. If you're sandpaper, you're going to have to rub yourself enough to smooth yourself out enough so others can bear with being around you. Is that all right? You know the number one reason missionaries leave the field? Because of other Christians. Not because the work is hard, because they can't get along with other Christians. Wow. That's something to think about, isn't it? What's wood, hay, and stubble? Doctrine that is unprofitable for the good of souls. You know, there's much being taught today that is not profitable. Did you know that? And I tell young preachers, motivational speaking is not preaching. You can be a motivational speaker and not preach the gospel or the cross. Because the cross is for us to be hung upon so that we might die the death to live the life that Christ has for us. And what I've learned as a Christian is not about being comfortable. It's about being a comforter, that I might go forth and comfort others with the comfort wherewith I myself have been comforted of God. That means that I've been through something. I've been through some disappointments. I've had some hard days. I've seen some things maybe that I wish I hadn't seen, but God has taken me through it all. And now, because he's been faithful to me, I can bring that faithfulness to others that might be going through something similarly to something I've experienced in my own life. You see, you're not going to have a testimony without any suffering. I'm going to say that again. You're not going to have any real testimony without any suffering. But if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Is that all right? And the Apostle Paul says something very strange. He said, even to this are ye called. Wow. He said, but rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rest with us because our testimony among you have been believed. And when you believe God, God will be faithful to you and he will bring you through whatever it is that you have to go through to become whoever it is you're supposed to be. And sometimes you need to ask people that you're close to, you need to say, who are you supposed to be? You'll be surprised at the stoic look that you'll get as a response to your question. Because many times we're not thinking about who we're becoming. We're thinking more about what we need to be doing. Something to think about. What's the character and nature of true conversion? Romans 8, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Paul says in Colossians, set your mind on things above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, not on things on the earth. Meaning our lives are not to be endangered by the things of the world creeping into our lives so much so that it endangers our relationship, communion, and intimacy with God. It says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace during a COVID-19 pandemic? Yes, life and peace. Because God is the God of peace. Because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And so if the Spirit of God dwells in me, I have the seed that Apostle John talks about living in me, and I cannot practice sin because I've been born of God. And so if I'm walking and living in sin, I don't need the preacher to come and tell me, you need to stop doing that, because the Holy Spirit will deal with me in my life and my communion with him and say, stop doing that. Not only that, the Holy Spirit will tell you to stop doing things that's lawful for you to do, but it's not expedient. For instance, I don't drink. Can I drink? Yes, but the Holy Spirit told me not to drink. But I don't get in the pulpit and tell everybody that's a Christian you should never drink. But God told me not to drink because it's not expedient for my life or my ministry. Is that all right? And so God may tell you not to do something that is lawful for everybody else to do, but you can't go telling everybody else they can't do it because God told you not to do it. Wow, something to think about, huh? Have you heard the saying, oh, they're a carnal Christian? I've heard people say so many times, well, you know, my son is a Christian, but he's not living for God. I said, let me tell you, if he's not living for God, he's not a Christian. Because the only assurance you have of being a Christian is the life you're living for God. Without the life, there is no assurance. And you can't say, well, he's saved, he's not living it, because the Bible says if you belong to God, you cannot practice sin because you've been born of God. And so when we love people, we make excuses to get them into the kingdom illegitimately. And we're causing them to feel comfortable in their sin and rebellion against God that will be the damnation of their souls. And that is not the love of God. That is not. You don't even hear the word persecution anymore. But if we live godly, we will suffer persecution. Hallelujah. If we live godly, we will what? Suffer persecution. And then the Bible says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. You know why it says that? Because it means you're a chameleon. That you're not consistent in your walk. You change according to the circumstance and the situation rather than be a changer of the circumstance and the situation by being steady in God. You want to go steady with God? You know it's going to cost you something, but it'll be worth it. You know when you see that girl you want and you're thinking about how you could get close to her and buy a nice gift and stuff like that so you can stand out as the one that she should really choose. These are things to think about. You are not your own. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus. It says, verse 19 of chapter 6, do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. What does it mean when we've been bought? We've been bought by the blood of Jesus. The blood speaks redemption, forgiveness, access to the throne, healing, victory, covering, and yes, bought. And so when I have a bad day, I'm able to rush into the presence of God, not based upon my merit or my performance, but based on what Christ has done for me. So there's no bad day that keeps me out of the presence of God. Because it was never my merit that got me in his presence in the first place. And so the devil plays those tricks on us to keep us from being in God's presence by telling us how badly we failed him. But he came just to do that, that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And wherever you failed, it's already covered because God looks upon the heart. And it gives me great peace when I can say, Lord, thou knowest, because you know what's in my heart. Hallelujah. Ephesians tells us in verse 23, chapter 5, Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. He asked Peter, Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he says, I tell you this, upon this rock I will build my church. And he wasn't talking about building it on Peter. He was talking about building it on Peter's profession of him being the Christ, the chief cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected, that have come the head of the corner. And if he's the cornerstone, the building cannot be moved. He said on another place, when you build a house on solid ground, when the wind comes and the storms blow against it, it shall not be moved. But the church will stand because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. She is my body. She is my bride. I'm living and I'm moving in her. And Paul says, in him, we live and move and have our being. And man, when we're walking in the power of God and we're walking in prayer and we're walking in purity of heart, there is no greater threat to the kingdom of the devil than a saint that's outfitted with the armor of God. Ooh, hallelujah. When you get up in the morning, you got to put it on. The helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and that two-edged sword in our hand. Woo, hallelujah. Put fear in the devil. It says in Ephesians 5, 25b, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Wow. And to present her to himself a radiant church. A what? Radiant. A snuffed out candle. A what? Shriveled up bride. What? A blind and lost virgin. No. A radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So when the accuser of the brethren comes to charge the church or comes to charge you in your life, you need to say to the devil, see my lawyer. Jesus calls himself an advocate for us to the Father. That means he's our lawyer. So when the accuser of the brethren comes, we don't have to stand up and argue with him, because whatever he comes with has been blotted out. No longer to be remembered by God. Jesus is building his church. And I want you to be encouraged today. And there is no other foundation that can be laid than Christ Jesus. And when the apostles was on that hill and he ascended into heaven, the angel stood by and said, this same Jesus that you see going up, he will return again in like manner. And if we're waiting for him, the scripture says, occupy till I come. That means that we are co-laboring with him, that we are praying and we're asking God, Lord, what is on your heart for the world? What is on your heart for the church? What is on your heart for my church, that I might get in step with what the Spirit is doing, that people might be saved and matured in Christ Jesus? And I tell pastors, when we have Bible studies, we need people who are mature leading those Bible studies. It's not just to be a discussion group where people get to talk about things and express their opinions. People need to be taught. This Bible is the most difficult book you will ever study, and it takes years of study to really understand. And I tell people, you can't simplify anything you don't understand profoundly. I'll say that again. You can't simplify anything you don't understand profoundly. And when we come together, God wants to mature us, to bring us into the unity of the faith, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jude says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Able to do what? David said, keep your feet from being taken. If you want to be kept, God will keep you. Despite yourself, even if you believe not, he abides faithful. Is that all right? Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the scriptures say, amen, and I do too, because I believe it. I've seen the power of God against people who were demon-possessed. I've seen the power of God heal people of maladies and sicknesses. I've seen God do extraordinary things and save our lives in the midst of dangerous situations. I've seen the faithfulness of God for myself. It's not just something I read in the book. And I want to tell you, you be faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. If you want to see victory, he will give it to you. Undoubtedly, unequivocally, categorically, he will. But in his time, that's why we have to persevere and press through. Pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I haven't already attained, neither am I already perfect. But I follow after that I might apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Do you want to be apprehended? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. And those who are viewing from the internet, Lord, that your word might pierce to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow and be a true discerner of the heart. Lord, I pray that through this message you reveal your divine plans for those individually who are listening, for the church collectively in the name of Jesus, that we're not a bunch of rabble rousers. We are the called of Jesus Christ, the son and daughters of the living and most high God. We ask you to empower us afresh with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, that we might be formidable adversaries to your adversaries in the name of Jesus. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering around the world, who are being persecuted, who are running for their lives, who are being taken to be made sex slaves, Lord, who are crying out to you for deliverance from prisons around the world. We ask, God, that you would move mightily, that you would send cherubim with fiery swords, For you said there are flames of fire sent forth to minister on behalf of the righteous. We can't be there, but you can. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Lord, we pray that Michael and the angels will fight for the deliverance of your people and for the manifestation of the victorious church that you gave your life for and rose from the dead, that she too might live and be presented faultless in the presence of the Father's glory with exceeding joy. In Jesus' name I pray. As the congregation said,
amen.
Amen.